Today's reading comes from 2 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 10 and 14 through 17. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and I would prefer to be away from the body and home with the Lord. So when we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. Bless the reading of the word.
Thank you. Let us pray. Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your word. Silence in us any voice but your own, that hearing, we may also obey your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today, I got to do my first baptism since the world fell apart last spring. So this week, I've been thinking a lot about baptism. Been kind of reflecting on my own, but also thinking about the role of baptism within the life of the church. Some of you may not know this, but I actually wasn't baptized in the Presbyterian denomination. I was baptized as an eight-week-old infant in the narthex of St. Michael's Orthodox Church. They start the baptism in the narthex of the church to symbolize that the child is not yet a member of the church. There's this really great picture of Father Patrick dunking me in the baptismal font while my mom looked on in horror in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. After Father Patrick dunked me, he anointed me with oil, and then he walked me through the sanctuary to show off the newest member of the church. This week I called my mom and I asked her what she remembered about my baptism, and she said what she remembers is that there were a lot of rules and it was a very long service. Growing up in the Orthodox tradition, it was clear to me from a very young age what was expected of me. I was to go to church every week, so one day I would grow up, get married, and then make my children go to church every week. But also from a young age, I felt that God maybe had other plans for me. And those plans eventually led me to the Presbyterian denomination as a young adult, and eventually to seminary and pastoral ministry. Right after I started pastoring, I got a letter in the mail from St. Michael's Church. The letter wanted to let me know that Father Patrick had passed away and inviting me, and I think the words they use, faithful and active member of St. Michael's, to attend his funeral. Now, I was a little bit confused by this letter. I loved Father Patrick, and of course I would go to his funeral, but how on earth was I still considered an active member of St. Michael's? I hadn't gone to church there in probably 7 years at that point. Also, I was pastoring a church in another denomination. What was going on here? So at Father Patrick's funeral, I sought out the choir director to see if he knew what was going on, because choir directors always know what's going on. And sure enough, he did. Turns out, my great uncle was continuing to pay my membership dues to St. Michael's Orthodox Church, even though Uncle Nick sat in the sanctuary while I was ordained in the Presbyterian Church as a pastor. But in the eyes of St. Michael's, I was still one of them. Friends, I wonder if I ask you why we baptize children. You might say something along the lines of, oh, well, we baptize babies so that they grow up and join the church. While we're delighted when that happens, baptism is more about marking someone as a child of God than it is marking somebody as a new member of our church. The reason that we celebrate baptism in the context of worship is because we believe that a person actually can't live as a child of God without a faith community. Just as it takes a village to raise a child, it takes a church to raise a Christian. I was drawn to this passage from St. Corinthians this morning because I think it helps us imagine what new things God is doing in our midst. And it challenges us to get on board. Now, the new thing that God was doing in the midst of the church in Corinth is he's trying to get them to learn how to live by faith and not by sight. Remember, the church in Corinth was the modern-day equivalent of a church plant. They're used to just doing everything their pastor tells them to do. The only problem is that their pastor, Paul, is in Ephesus planting another church. So the church doesn't really know what to do now that he's not there. So Paul writes them this letter encouraging them not to worry. God's grace is sufficient for them to live by faith. I think the other new thing that God is doing in this church is he wants to offer them words of hope. Words of hope that Christian life isn't just waiting for some future reality. Christian life is actively participating in the inbreaking of the kingdom of God here and now. One way that the church does this is through the sacrament of baptism. When the church gathers to administer the sacrament, we affirm a call in the present that parents are going to raise a child in the Christian faith. But we're also planting seeds for a future that we have very little control over. I hate to tell you this, but not every baptized child is going to grow up to serve on the session of the church that baptized them. But I do believe that every baptized child is called to figure out where God is calling them to put down roots. This past week, I had the privilege of having coffee with somebody who is working in campus ministry. Now, this person was one of my youth group kids when I did campus ministry. Now, I probably need to stop calling him a kid because he's now like 25 and like 6'7". So the word kid probably doesn't apply. Anyway, he was sharing with me how the organization that I used to work for has changed over the last 10 years. When I was on staff, the goal of this campus ministry was to get people to join the organization that sponsored it. But over time, they realized that they weren't being super successful in that goal, so they pivoted, and their new goal is to help college students find a faith community and put down roots in it. And they see their job as helping people transition into that community well. This organization surveyed a bunch of their alumni to figure out what they were up to after graduation. And what they found is that the alums were still doing the things they did in college to sustain their life of faith. They were going to church, they were praying regularly, they were giving back to their communities. But due to the nature of life and work, a lot of them had to move across the country to work and raise families. So this organization decided to pivot their focus from getting people to join the organization here in Pittsburgh to helping people discern how God was calling them to grow in their discipleship. Or as we Presbyterians say, helping them to live into their baptismal identity. Friends, every time we do a baptism in the church, I can feel everybody getting really excited. I wonder what would happen if instead of getting excited that a new family is going to join our church, we get excited that God is inviting us to participate in a new thing. And this new thing is to help a new family raise a child in the way of Jesus, in this time and in this place. Knowing as we baptize a child, we have no idea what the church is going to look like when she graduates from high school, or maybe college, or maybe even has a family of her own. But we do know that we want to walk alongside her as she figures it out. Paul ends this portion of his letter to the church in Corinth with this exhortation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. What Paul is saying here is that in order for new life to emerge, there has to be some dying of the old ways that we've done things. And yes, dying to the old is painful. But we are called to surrender to being made anew. For me, this means having a deep appreciation for the Orthodox tradition that formed me in the way of Jesus. But it also means following God's call into a different denomination. For you, it may mean coming out of this pandemic and discerning anew who you are and what God is calling you to do in this time and in this place. Now, I know this doesn't sound like good news. There is comfort in the old and familiar, and the new is uncertain and scary. But, and this is an important but, the old is actually already gone, and the new is actually already here. So it's not a question of, do we want to let go of the old and embrace the new? Nope, the new is already upon us. And here's the good news bit. The good news bit is that we are capable of embracing the new because we too are in Christ. Remember Paul, the guy who wrote this letter? He was able to transform from a persecutor of the church to a servant of the gospel. And he actually was like an itinerant church planter. Like, he did a lot of cool things after his conversion. But he was able to do this because he experienced the unsurpassable love of Jesus. Friends, we too have experienced this same love. And having experienced it ourselves, we can now go out into the world, proclaiming with joy in word and in deed. We live by faith, not by sight. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.